Welcome to the Apex Church podcast. Thanks for listening and we hope you enjoy today's message. Be sure to check out our website at www.apexchurch.org.uk and let us know you've been listening. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
Well, I don't know about you, but I thought we had an incredible time last Sunday as Pastor Neil kicked off our new series, Legends and Misfits. Did anybody appreciate that last week? It's time to get up. So helpful and so enlightening. But what a blessing that was to us. But yesterday marked 50 years since the lunar landing, when Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin walked on the moon. And earlier this week, we marked the 16th of July, the day when they got into that capsule along with Michael Collins, and they waited for liftoff. And they waited to be rocketed through the atmosphere into space. And whilst in space for 4 days, they traveled towards the moon. And I'm sure you'll be familiar with the iconic scenes of the Eagle landing on the moon and Neil Armstrong going down that ladder and saying those famous words, one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind. 50 years ago, Neil Armstrong, Buzz Aldrin, and Michael Collins became legends. They didn't grow up one day thinking, one day I want to be an astronaut. They didn't realize what their future held, but 50 years ago yesterday, they made history in being the first people to walk on the surface of the moon. 10 years previously, President John F. Kennedy had made that bold claim that they were going to put someone on the moon and bring them back home safely. And for those next few years, there was that battle between East and West, the U.S. and Russia, who was going to be the first to pioneer into new grounds in the space race. Millions and millions of dollars. Some good attempts, some not so good attempts. The first Apollo 1 ended in disaster, but they kept on going. They kept on going and pioneering new technologies. Thousands of NASA workers, engineers, scientists, and these astronauts, many astronauts trained for many years preparing themselves so that they could achieve their goal of making the impossible a dream into a reality. On the 16th of July, they got into that capsule and they headed out into outer space, unsure if they were going to make it. And even that last few moments as the Eagle was coming down towards the surface of the moon, they had two warning lights on their computer, which they had to override, and manually Neil Armstrong had to maneuver the landing craft to land on the plane, on the surface of the moon with 30 seconds of fuel left. Legends are not born. Legends are not even made overnight. Legends are fashioned through the challenges, the struggles, and the obstacles, and overcoming them. I don't know about you, but these guys took a long time to get ready. They spent lots of money and a lot of effort to get to the moon. And now in this season that I find myself in with an 8-month-old boy, we're needing a lot of time to get ready to leave the house, let alone leave to go to the moon. And it's amazing just how all these other things you need to be considering. Even this week, we're heading down to London for Hillsong Conference, and we've spent the last few days preparing, not just for me and Deborah to go, but for baby Daniel to go and get ready to head down to London. But I want to ask you this morning, are you ready for what God has in store for you? Because I'm a firm believer that God has a plan and purpose for every person here. If you've got breath in your body, if you've got a pulse, if your heart is beating, God has got a purpose and a plan for you today. You may not be heading to the moon. You may not be heading to Botswana to live in a tent, but you're here in Peterhead and God has got a plan and purpose for you. And as long as God gives you breath, He's got something more for you. I believe nobody's arrived. I believe nobody's finished. I believe there's still more. I don't care how bleak things seem at this moment. There is still more with God. I believe there's a blessed future for every single person here today. But the question for us is this morning is, are we ready? Are we ready? I believe God's ready. I believe He's waiting for us to get ready. I wonder this morning, what am I missing out on in this moment? Because I'm not ready. And God's waiting for me just to get my act together. In the Bible, we read about a legend called Joshua. Joshua, the Bible tells us, was 88 years old when he became leader of the nation of Israel. But previous to those 80 years, there had been many challenges, lessons, experiences that had helped him to be the person who God wanted to lead his people. This was the plan that God had for Joshua. That right up until this moment, he'd been preparing him until Moses would pass away and Joshua would be the next leader of that great nation. Nothing in our lives is wasted. Nothing in our lives is for no reason. It doesn't matter how bleak or how difficult the circumstance may be. I believe God can bring hope. I believe God can bring something glorious from the ashes of failure and the ashes of defeat. Something within you can be fashioned. Something within you can be shaped to prepare you for what's next. I heard a great question this week as I listened to a podcast. What was God doing in your life 10 years ago to prepare you for what you are doing today? 10 years ago, I was single. 10 years ago, Deborah thought it was funny. 10 years ago, I'm glad I'm no longer single. But 10 years ago, I was single. It was just before Deborah and I got together. 10 years ago, I just came home from a year in the States. 10 years ago, I was halfway through my degree. 10 years ago, I never imagined I'd be in Peterhead. 10 years ago, I never imagined that the opportunities that have came my way. 10 years ago, who could know? But God knew 10 years ago. The things that I needed to go through, the experiences that I needed to experience to prepare me for what is happening today. So last week we talked about it's time to get up, but today I want to talk to you about it's time to get ready. And please turn within your Bibles to Joshua. It's quite early on in the Old Testament, in Joshua chapter 1. And very familiar words. If you've been on the scene any length of time, you'll be familiar with these words, but so powerful. Remember at this point, the great leader Moses has died. He's passed away. He's led the nation as far as he could. And now his successor is being appointed. And at this point, we find out that it's Joshua. It's his charge. It says this in verse 1, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord. The Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give them to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert of Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word to us today, and we thank you for this encouragement. And your word says, you are God in heaven, and here and I on earth. So let my words be few. Lord, I pray in these next few moments that as we have marveled at your creation and the exploration and pioneering of people, and they've reached the other parts of this universe that we can only imagine, you spoke that into creation and existence. And Lord, you formed us from the dust of the earth, and you know everything that we're going through right now. So Father, wherever people find themselves today, whatever their challenge or obstacle or blessed season is, whatever it is, you know. And I pray in these next few moments, heaven, will you speak into these situations? In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Joshua had a key role in the Exodus from Egypt. He would be one of the men who helped to marshal all those people out of Egypt and into the wilderness. Joshua was a great strategist. He was a great leader in the army of Israel. Remember that occasion when Moses up on the mountain and Aaron and Hur are lifting his arms up. And when his arms are up high in the sky, the Israelites had the victory. They were at the better side. Well, it was Joshua who was on the front line leading the army at that moment. This man was a warrior. This man was a strategist. This man was someone who knew what it was like to be in the fight. who knew what it was like to overcome an enemy. This was a man who had an upbringing and was able to be a warrior and a fighter. But he was also the one who was privileged to accompany Moses only partway up Mount Sinai, before Moses went a little bit further and received the Ten Commandments, the law from God. It was Moses who got to go so far. It was Moses that was said to have been in, it was Joshua, it was said to have been in Moses' shadow constantly. It was Joshua who was selected from all of his tribe to be one of the spies that Moses would send into the promised land. Think about it. All the other men in that tribe, Joshua was selected. And even out of that 12, him and only one other, Caleb, came back with a positive report about what they saw. Everybody else saw the challenge and negativity, but he saw the possibility. He came back with an encouraging report. Joshua and Caleb are the only two adults who left and experienced slavery in Egypt and got to live in the promised land. Out of a whole nation, only two adults, and Joshua was one of them. He was a man of faith and courage, chosen to be Moses' successor. And even when he came into leadership, he was a successful leader. He brought them over the Jordan River. He brought them into the promised land. And along the way, they had those battles. Remember the walls of Jericho that fell after they walked around seven times? That was Joshua who led that. Remember in the heat of the battle, they prayed, God, could you give us a little bit more time? Will the sun please stand still? And the sun stood still. Joshua was the one who got to go into the promised land and take possession of it. Joshua was a legend. A legend that wasn't made or born or created overnight, but one who had to overcome and experience a lot of circumstances that prepared him for this season in his life. Do we realize what God is doing in our lives today to prepare us for tomorrow? You know, it's so easy that when we're going through something that we really just want to pray this prayer, God, can you get me out of this now? God, will you redeem me from this now? God, will you save me now? But maybe God's trying to teach us something that maybe right now doesn't make sense, but in 10 years' time, we can look back and say, God, I'm thankful for those moments. In Joshua 1, we read that God had to repeat encouragement to Joshua. Be strong. Be very courageous. Multiple times he had to get this message through to him. And I'm sure Joshua had many excuses to give up and to step aside and be overwhelmed. But that word of encouragement was enough to keep him to press on and to experience all that God had for him. So are we ready? Are we ready this morning? I want to encourage you that in these next 15 minutes or so, just briefly to share one or two things to help us to move forward. But before we can prepare ourselves to get ready, there maybe are things that we've got to deal with that are holding us up. I wonder, what's the hold up today? I think the life of Joshua shows us three areas that we need to get right to help us to move forward into all that God has for us. Why is that important? Because each of us here today, we've all got a Jordan to cross. We've all got a promised land to enter. We've all got something that we need to take off. Nobody here is finished. Nobody's arrived. There is more for each of us here today. First of all, we see that relationships are really important. He had an incredible leader in Moses that he could learn from. Can you imagine those moments that Joshua was watching as Moses made decisions and he and communicated with God and had this amazing relationship, but Joshua saw it all. He saw the good times, he saw the bad times. He saw the things went well, but he also saw the mistakes as well. And he learned from that. He surrounded himself with a great leader. I wonder this morning, who are you surrounding yourself with? You see, he's also in this unique group of positive people. Out of 12 people, there was only two who were positive and saw the potential, and he was in that group. Also, there's another story where we read of a man called Achan who disobeyed the command and kept some of the rewards to himself when he was told not to do that. And the punishment for disobeying was that his life was taken from him. And it seems a very extreme consequence, but it actually deals with the seriousness of living with integrity. That actually we can't just do one thing one way and that's okay. It's actually the whole of our lives. We need to be ensuring that we are living with integrity. But also, we also read that he was a one that surrounded himself with positive people. And he was a one who surrounded himself with a great example and leader. Can I ask you this morning, who are you surrounding yourself with? You know, the people who are closest to you will have the biggest influence on your future. They will have a big impact, not just on your decision-making, but more so than that, on your mindset. See, secondly, we need to make sure we've got the right mindset. You see, if you allow people who are negative, who are naysayers, who just see difficulties and never see possibilities, who are not faithful, who are just people who are just the worst case scenario at all times, who love to just moan about how tough and how difficult things are, your mindset will be formed around that. But Joshua did not have a negative mindset. He had a positive outlook. He was faithful. He saw the possibilities when everybody else only saw the difficulties. He was someone who was a great thinker, a strategist on the battlefield. He was someone who had sensitivity that when he could sense God was leading and when God was speaking, he obeyed. He had a humble spirit. And his worldview was not negative and not small and limited. What's your worldview this morning? Are you faith-filled? Are you believing for more? Are you believing for the impossible? Do you believe that God is able? Do you believe that even when things seem difficult, when it seems that there is no way, he's still the way maker? Do you believe that he's a miracle worker? Do you believe that the words that you sang and sang so well this morning are not just nice words in a song, but realities and truths? Our mindsets are so important. And thirdly, fear. He had to overcome fears in his own life. And let's be honest, who would like to take over from the greatest leader of a nation? Moses. It's like the person who had to go in the bill after Frank Sinatra. Imagine singing after Frank Sinatra got up there and belted out one of his classics. Imagine being David Moyes had to overcome after Alex Ferguson. Imagine being that guy. Imagine the fear. Imagine Moses growing up watching Moses going, I'm glad you're the senior leader and I'm not the senior leader. Imagine those moments thinking, it won't be me. I'm sure it'll be somebody else. God will have someone else. But this was God's plan for Joshua. God spoke to Joshua. God charges and encourages Joshua. And I believe if you're here this morning and that you're alive, God's got a purpose and a plan for you. And I want to ask you, do you know what God's saying to you? Do you know what your plan and what your purpose is? See, not all of us are going to be missionaries, not all of us are going to be the leaders of nations, but each one of us are going to lead in our homes, in our families. Each one of us are going to have influence in our workplaces. Each one of us are going to be ambassadors for the kingdom of God. See, first and foremost, you're not a wife or a husband or a boyfriend. First and foremost, you're a child of the King. And you're an ambassador for his kingdom. That is your ultimate role. You maybe are known as operations manager or you've got a title of some sort in the workplace, but first and foremost, you're a child of the King. And you're an ambassador for the kingdom of God. And everywhere where you go, whether on the clock or off the clock, you are representing his kingdom. But Joshua had to overcome these fears. And actually, Joshua realized that he could not do this task himself. And that's a good place to be. Because he had to rely on God to help him. I wonder this morning, questions I'd ask myself if I was going through this story again. Do I think I'm too strong to fulfill God's plan for my life? Am I humble enough to recognize my need for his help? See, Joshua, right at the very outset, knew that he needed God's help, and God knew that. And that was what attracted God to Joshua. He was humble in his spirit. He wasn't ahead of himself. He wasn't trying to advance himself. He was quite happy being Moses' servant and being his aide. I wonder this morning, are we making the time to look at these areas to make sure that we are ready for all that God has got for us? So what's the hold up this morning? Let's look at our relationships. Let's look and make sure that there's no toxic relationships that are holding us back, that are filling our worlds of naysaying and negativity, that are not faithful, that's not talking about other people, but talking about how great God is. It's not talking about what so-and-so is up to and all of that. Let's leave that to them and let's speak about how good Jesus is. If you're looking for conversations to talk to people about, let's just talk about Jesus. That'll fill a few hours. Let's talk about what Jesus is saying to us today, what he said this morning when we prayed, when we read our word. Let's talk about that today. Let's fill our lives with the right people. And I'm glad that we've got Jesus in our lives who can have the biggest influence on our decision-making, on our mindsets, and overcoming our fears. It's time to get ready. Why do we get ready? Because we've got a promise. We've got a promise this morning. Each one of us has got a Jordan to cross. Each one of us has got a promised land to take possession of. Each one of us has got something that we need to do. And we read here in verses 3 to 5 these great words. He says this, promise, I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert of Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. It's time to live the life that God has purposed for each and every one of us. See, God has given us a promise. All the promises are in Christ. They are yes and amen. I believe God has a great plan and purpose for you today. And he shows us three ways which the promise are going to have a positive impact in our life. And we need to get ready to receive all that God has got for us. Firstly, he shows us here that the promise is for our provision. I will give you what you need. I have what you need, says God. And I want to shift track for these next few moments to go more from expounding thoughts to maybe speak faith into people today. God wants to say this to you. I have what you need. I have what you need. And I will look after it and care for it until you are ready to receive it. So whatever it is that you're looking for, whatever it is you're hoping for, know this morning that God is your source. He is your strength. He is your provider. He is your provision. And you don't have that yet because you're not ready for it yet. See, the Bible tells us that we've got to be faithful in the small things. With the two talents, with the one talent, two talents, before God gives us the increase. And wherever you're at today, I would encourage you to be faithful and to trust and obey right where you are just now. Do that well. Like Joshua, who's just the leader of the army, who's just the one who's helping. He's just helping Moses get up a mountain. He's just helping along the way. And at the right moment when he was ready for it, God said, you're the leader now. He is your provider. Secondly, he's your protector. No one will be able to come against you. What is yours, I will keep safe until you're ready for it. And what you have given to me, I will keep safe. You see, some of us this morning have maybe trusted God with things in our lives, and at the moment, as we look by sight, we don't understand what is going on. It might be a family member, it might be a health situation, a business situation, whatever it is. And you've prayed the prayer, Lord, I surrender, this is yours, I need your help. Lord, I'm believing for this to come, but it doesn't seem to be happening yet, but I know that you know what's best, and I'm trusting in you. You can trust God to keep safe what's in his hands. And he will keep you safe until you're ready for that promise. And thirdly, he tells us about his presence. He tells us about his presence. I will never leave you. I will never leave you. You see, Moses and God had this incredible face-to-face conversations. Amazing. But Joshua maybe didn't have the face-to-face, but he had the promise of the same presence being with him. I wonder this morning, do we realize the presence of God dwells within every single believer? His presence is with you. His presence is with you. He is all that you need. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. So whatever you're going through, whatever your Jordan River looks like, whatever your challenge is, he's with you. Whenever you go through that fiery trial, whenever you go through that difficult circumstance, that troubling situation, he's with you. Even when I can't see it, you're working. Even when I can feel it, you're working. That's not just a good idea that someone writing a song had. That's what God says to you today. That I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. And Joshua models for us here the obedience that we are to have as believers. He knew that God would provide for him. He knew that God would protect him. And he knew that God's presence was with him. And that was the key to his success, his obedience to God. And right as he moves on through his life, right at the end, he says to the nation, be very careful to love the Lord your God with all your heart. And then he makes this declaration, which is a great scripture. He says, everybody, choose today who you're going to serve. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And he made that decision that even in the battle, in the challenge, in the good times or the bad times, he made a concrete decision, I'm going to obey God. I'm going to serve him, whether things are going good, whether things are going amazing, or maybe things are not as good as they could be. I'm deciding that me and my house, we're serving God. See, Joshua was given this role as leader, not because he was talented, although he was, not because he was gifted, although he was. He was given it because he was humble, and he was submissive, and he obeyed God. What a great life lesson for the 21st century today. If you want to proceed in life, if you want to be a person of influence in your life, don't look for climbing up ladders and trampling over people on the way. Don't try about elbowing people on the race. How about let's live with obedience, to walk humbly, to love mercy, to do justice, to actually live a countercultural life here on earth, to represent the kingdom of heaven on earth, to not just shout about it on a Sunday, but when we go into our workplaces on Mondays and Wednesdays and Thursdays, when the weekend seems so far away, to represent the kingdom of heaven, humbly with obedience. I wonder if we can just bring this in with this thought. Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin, as they stood on the moon, there's an incredible picture that was taken from the surface of the moon as they looked down onto Earth. Amazing to think that at this point, although other astronauts had got out into space, these are the only guys that have stood on the moon, a completely different perspective of the world. And as they stood there, they looked down and they could see the world. 1969, what a decade. Civil rights. Presidents assassinated. World seems to be carefree and going out of control. But yet from this perspective, what a beautiful world. From heaven's perspective, things look completely different. But what about Joshua and Caleb? Can you imagine them standing in the promised land? And maybe not physically, but definitely spiritually, they could look back on their lives. And they remember what it was like to be beaten as a slave. They remember what it was like to make more bricks with less straw. They remember what it was like to wander around the wilderness and wonder, are we going to have food tonight? Is it going to fall from heaven again? Have a fire going to lead us tonight? Are we ever going to get out of the wilderness? Come on, remember when we were walking around Jericho, the start of that seventh time. Oh God, you've got to come through for us here. He could look back from the promised land and see that all of his life was getting him ready to cross a river, step in, and take possession of the promised land. I wonder, is there anybody here today that's got a different spirit, like Joshua and Caleb, that is willing to put aside the holdups, to deal with those things so that we are ready to inherit and receive the promise, to live out the fullness of the plan and purpose that God has got for each and every one of us. I believe we can do that this morning. I believe we can make a decision today that this is the 21st of July, this is the marker. I'm going to deal with all those holdups and I'm going to get myself ready for all that God has got for me. When it's mine, he'll release it. I can trust him. He's going to provide for me. He's going to protect me. And his presence is always going to be with me. Let's stand in his presence this morning. And let's bow our heads, close our eyes, and just focus in right now. Father, as I look across this hall today, I see people of all different ages and generations. And I see your people. And although I can't see their plans and purposes and what you've placed within them when you formed them in their mother's wombs, you can see it. But Lord, they're aware of it maybe. Maybe there's people here today that sense a lack of clarity in what am I supposed to be doing with my life? What's my great purpose? Lord, I pray in these moments, Lord, will you begin to just reveal and speak into hearts? Father, I want to pray for people that maybe feel settled, that maybe feel like they've stopped moving forward and maybe haven't taken possession of the whole land. It's almost like there was one battle too much. It's almost like Jordan was too deep. But Father, I pray in Jesus' name that you would strengthen those hearts. So Father, I thank you for your presence with us right now and that is always with us. And Lord, I want to pray for these hearts. I wonder if you're here today and you say, I kind of feel like that today, Daniel. I feel like I'm almost ready, but there's something been holding me back. If that's you, could I just ask you to start praying in your heart and just say, God, help me. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's just an unthoughtful thought pattern or a mindset. Or maybe fear is so real to you and it manifests itself in insecurities and feelings of lack and smallness. Come on, let's surrender that to him. And let's ask for his help to help us to move forward from that so that we're ready. I pray for courageous faith to rise. I pray for people to be like Joshua. Although they have their failings and shortcomings and awarenesses of their lack, they'll trust in Jesus, the one who is able to bring a turnaround, the one who is able to give them everything that they need. I pray for people to have a different spirit. I pray for people, Lord, 80 years old, maybe even older, to have that desperate, different spirit, as Caleb could say, give me this mountain. That would be their cry as well. So Holy Spirit, I pray for hearts right now. Prepare us, get us ready, so that we can live out all that you have purposed for us. You've never made a decision to make Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior. You've never prayed a prayer commitment. You've never asked him into your heart. You've never begun a relationship with him. You're maybe here today and got so much questions, you don't have figured everything out, but what I want to tell you today is that Jesus Christ loves you, and he loves you so much that he gave his life for you. That the Bible tells us that he died on a cross, he sacrificed his life so that you could be in relationship with God in heaven. The one who created the moon, he created you, and he wants to be in relationship with you today. And when Jesus died on the cross, he dealt with the barrier, the issue which separated us from our Father in heaven. All those things that we regret, that rubbish in our lives the Bible calls sin, that if you today would just reach out, simple prayer, invite him into your heart, he'll make you a new person, he'll forgive you of all your sin, and he'll restore you into right relationship and give you the gift of eternal life. We're going to live beyond the moon. We're going to be in his presence forevermore. But only those that have made that decision. I wonder if you're here today. Come on, every Christian has bowed their head and praying right now. You're here and you've never made that decision. I can't stress how important this is. You never know what a day will bring. So this is your moment. This is your opportunity. You say, Daniel, that's me. I want to become a Christian. Or maybe I want to return. I've maybe wandered for a time. I want to make a fresh commitment. That's you. Can you raise your hand right now?